Morning, everyone. Let's pray and we'll ask God to bless the message. Father, we're so desirous and thirsting after you that we just come to your word, that through your word our hearts will be purified. Lord, we do love you because you loved us first when you gave up your life for us. And Lord, the love wherewith you loved us with, when you did that, we just were captivated. We just want to follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We realize there's a battle out there for our souls. But Lord God, as we look to you, we know that we have won the battle. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we'll be crowned, Lord God, and before all the angels, they'll be so awestruck that we won the battle down here with such great odds, that we shine bright for you. So thank you, Lord God, for the great love wherewith you loved us with. And we just ask you now to bless your word and help us to grow thereby. Help us to grow in this most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank God for this church and for the commitment of Bob and Jeff and all the elders. And as my life has changed over the years, as I progress in the walk with God, many years ago, you know, I'd want to be up here. And now it's like I know who the real calling is on, upon Bob, and I'm just a humble servant. I just love Jesus, and I just desire to follow with all my heart. But I know there's a battle out there, and there's a battle for our souls, that only the Word of God, as we come before Him, that we can offset that battle. And I often, with my walk with God, I have a very difficult time with people who call Jesus Lord. And it don't seem like they really have Him as Lord. So that's the subject we're going to deal with today, is those who say, Lord, Lord. So if you turn with me to Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 46, we're going to read those verses. And we're going to go from there. Luke 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. And Jesus said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose and the torrents burst against that house and could not shake it, because it has been well built or has been built upon a rock. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord? A question that Jesus asks us. Why do you say Lord, Lord? You know what the word Lord means? It means supreme authority. Why do you call me your supreme authority, and yet do not do what I say? This is not a question for everyone, you know that. It's not a universal question. It's a question to those who say, Jesus is my supreme authority. And yet, he says, why don't you do what I say? It's like a sifting question. It's the only way we do what he says is that we have faith in that. And so he questions these people. Why do you call me your supreme authority, yet you do not do what I say? Now, why do we do what he says? Why are we so enamored to be here today? Be here every Sunday to hear the Word of God. Why is that? Because we've been captivated by his love. The love wherewith he loved us with when he died on the cross for our sins. It says in Corinthians, "To them who are perishing, the cross is foolishness." It's moronic. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power. It's the ability to change us into the image of God. That's why we come here. This is why we say, Jesus, you're my supreme authority. There's other voices out there. There's other things we can go by what they say. But when Jesus says, this is the way of life, walk ye in it, we believe in him. But there's others who don't do that. The fun walk with God and the things you see. Many times people claim that they are Christians, that they walk close to God, and they can believe in the Trinity. They can believe Jesus is deity. They can believe in all the carnal doctrines of the church and never have Jesus as their supreme authority. You know why? Why don't you do what I say? So we are the children of what God says. We believe we hear from God and walk in His way. I remember being at Butler Bible Institution, and there was a man, Bob Ogden, was there, and he asked this question. It was out of the scriptures. God is spirit. And he asked this question, how do you get to know a spirit? That's the way I was. I've never heard such a question. It's not like you go to work. You ever go to work, somebody says, how do you know a spirit? And I just looked at him and he says, by revelation. See, God has revealed himself. He has shown himself to us, and we are the people who believe that. In Genesis, the very first verse, in the beginning, God said, there's the battle line, right there. We are the children of God said. They are not. Even though they say, Lord, Lord, even though they say, Jesus is my supreme authority, yet there is no obedience in their life. And it's a sad thing. I remember reading about Paul. He says, I weep over these people. He said about Israel, oh, that I could be cursed for the sake of Israel. It's a deep grief. I remember the young man was up here. He was saying he'd read the obituaries. And I do the same thing sometimes, read the obituary. And I'd weep and I'd think, were they saved? Did they accept Christ? Did they have God in their heart? Because you know what happens if they don't? Great will be their destruction. Great. So let's go on here. Now, the only way, like I just said, the only way we would do what he says is that we would have faith. Now, the question is, what is faith? First thing about faith is, only faith pleases God. So faith in its, you crunch it down, is a response to a message. That's what faith is. We hear the message of God, and we do what he says. Another thing faith is, the word of faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Living Bible says it's the confidence assurance, or in other words, it's the absolute certainty of hope. And hope means confidence, which means certain. So faith is the absolute certainty of that which is absolutely certain. You see, I read that one time. I thought it's all by faith. God spoke. God exists. You know, from the very beginning, the battle line was on Jesus. He's the Son of God. When Mary was talked to by the angel says, and you shall call him the Son of God. In the temptation, that Satan said, if you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. He said, if you are the Son of God, another time. And then as Jesus picked out his disciples, first one was Nathanael. He said, I've seen you sitting underneath the fig tree there. He said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. This is the whole battle line. Then Peter, who do people say I am? Peter says, you are the Son of God. And at the cross, before the cross, at the trial, they ask him, are you the Son of God? I am. And after his death on the cross, the centurion says, surely this man was the Son of God. So we go by this one thing. It's so simplistic, but it's just a faith thing. It's all by faith. It's so exciting. He is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. He delivered us from the wrath that punishment due our sin because God has revealed himself. It's all by that one simplistic faith statement. And those who say, Lord, Lord, and don't have him as their supreme authority, really don't have God at all. So, we're here today. We believe he is the Son of God, the supreme authority. So, if God says one thing and someone says another, the scripture says, call God the truth, which means you must be able to know the truth then, and call every man a liar. God has revealed to us the kingdom of his dear Son, the eternal kingdom. Okay. Now, hope. It says let's just turn to Hebrews 11 real quick. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read that get it down pat. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the word assurance, confidence, means absolute certainty. Now, hope, how many watched the Penguin game on Wednesday? Okay? Now, before the game, if I came up to you and I said, who do you think is going to win? You'd say, well, I hope the Penguins win. But what you're saying is, I'm not absolutely certain about that. But hope in the Scriptures means this, absolute certainty. See, our hope, which means looking forward to something, is absolutely certain. You know why? God said it. He exists. And he does not lie. So, faith is the absolute certainty for that which is absolutely certain. We live by this. We thrive by this. We conquer by this. We overcome the world through this. For if we lose hope, which is absence, to live in despair, if you lose hope. When we lose hope, then it's the beginning of the downward trend. And there's a sad thing. In Christianity, you can fall into despair. You can lose hope. As much as the world can fall away, we can fall away because there's only one place to go. If you fall away from God, there's only one other camp. That's back into the world. Have you ever think of it that way? That's all there is. You fall back into the world's ways. So we must always be absolutely certain. So as we drink in the Word of God, as we bathe ourselves in the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but daily, as we push away those things from the world, which is not going to benefit us, we're going to soar and shine brightly for God. We're going to be equipped for the work which God has brought for us. So that's my whole desire. There's certain things we don't do no more. There's certain thoughts we don't let in our mind. I mean, I read a book years ago, The Mind of Christ. And it was written like in the 1940s. And that's when this trend started to turn more and more toward godlessness. But he said, what they taught you was this. First they taught you is, think anything you want. He said, that's dangerous. Do you leave your doors open at home at night for any creature to come into your house? He said, God says there are certain things you don't want to let into your mind. And he said, what happened after that was, say anything you want, which is just a prelude to doing anything you want. And finally, we can become a society of godless people. Lord, Lord, my supreme authority, captivated by the love of Christ when he died for us on the cross. A divine love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were hating Him, He was loving us. It's not a natural love. It's a supernatural love. It's a divine love. And that's what He's teaching us, how to love like He loves. Not a hit for a hit, a spit for a spit, an insult for an insult. It's different. It's other than. It's a heavenly revelation that the Lord has revealed to us. But not all people say, Lord, Lord. Believe that. It's just an outward thing. You know what religion is? Religion, they deal with the outward person. God deals with the inward man, a heart change. And if your heart changes, the outward person will change. And Proverbs says, as in water, face reflects face. So does the heart of man reflect man. So as we drink in, bathe ourselves in the Word of God, our hearts being changed more and more in the image of God. Where before, we were made into a different image. The image of darkness, the image of death, the image of despair, the image of defeat, and the image of those who will be cast forever into the lake of fire. A total destruction. Okay. Let's go on. So faith is the absolute certainty of that which is absolutely certain. Now to those who have faith, here's what God says. Let's turn back to Luke 6:48. To those who have faith, Luke 6:48. This is the faithful ones. We'll read verse 47. Of Luke 6. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose and the torrent burst against it, the house, and could not shake it because it has been well built. Who dug a foundation? You see, there is only one foundation. And that is Jesus Christ. Now, there's many other ones that people will build on, but there are really no foundations at all. Some people build their lives on Buddhism, Islam, but we build ourselves on He is the Son of God. So we dug deep, and we put it upon a rock that cannot be shaken. And what happens? We have so many enemies out there. First of all, we have the enemy within and without. You know, battles within, battles without. We have the flesh and the spirit. We have these natural inclinations that Paul said, if you live by the flesh, your natural inclination, you must die. You follow your natural inclination. The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, tells us don't walk that way, walk this way. So we have that enemy. We have the enemies outside, all the unholy spirits, which is many because there's only one Holy Spirit. So we have all those coming against us. But we have this foundation we have laid. No other foundation that Jesus is the Son of God. He is our supreme authority. And by that, if we lay this foundation, all the gates of hell, all the enemies, all the demons can come against us. And yet we shall stand because God's word cannot fail. There's only that one sure foundation. And that is, Jesus is our Lord. We come to, it's such a pleasant place. It's such a security. It's such an assurance. If you, as you grow in the Lord, and some of the young men here, but those who have grown, it's amazing those people out there who don't have Christ. And you may think, well, they're having fun. Let me tell you, as the years go on, they are empty. They are totally empty. I've watched it, and it's all a game. Because deep in their heart, they know they're missing something, but they're unwilling to make God their supreme authority. We are missing out on nothing. We are gaining everything. I meditate sometimes as a day when Jesus said, "My reward is with me." The angels are going to be so awestruck by what we have done by faith here on this earth with all the enemies. Do you ever think of it? We're surrounded by our enemies, like Israel. Israel, this tiny little nation, surrounded by your enemies. And that's like the Goliath thing, the David and Goliath thing. Well, that's the way we are. We are warriors. We are tremendously going to be blessed by God when we get into heaven. The rewards are going to be great, but it's only to those who build that foundation and on that foundation build their faith up, being built up in this most holy faith. And that's the challenge for us Christians. We get disappointed sometimes. We get off target sometimes. But the blessing is you'll come to church. Or on radio, there's so many messages out there. But you'll come and Bob will speak a message. Or Jeff will speak a message. Or one of the men here will speak a message. Or you're in Sunday school. And that's right. I'm getting off a little bit. I'm losing my reward. I want to be everything for God because He was everything for me. Okay? Let me see. Okay, Matthew, it says, the wise man says, I like that. Matthew, you see, it's Matthew 7, but it says, the wise man says this, and then later on it says, the foolish man. You know why I like that? Do you see the contrast? There's only ever two people on this earth, the wise man and the foolish man. But the wise man laid up his foundation. He took the initiative. He believed in God. And there's only two contrasts there. It's a believer and the unbeliever. It's always, ever is. Now, to bring it down to the basics, the very foundation, if you start in Genesis, it says, in the midst of the garden, there was two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in of ourself, apart from God. We will determine what good and evil is. We are God. The tree of life is submission to God. And those two foundations, on those two foundations, every thought, every word, every action is taken. And throughout the whole world. Do you ever ask yourself, what's happening in the world today? Same thing's always been happening. There's a war against God. And Satan builds his army up. And God permits him to go so far, then he'll cut him down. But for us, there's going to be a great victory if we hold to the end. The shameful thing sometimes is those who, in the church, it go astray. It just breaks my heart because they're missing out. As you mature, the scripture says, if you remain with me, if you abide with me, ask anything in my name, it shall be done for you. It's such a joy. But some, halfway through the race, they give up on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay? All right. Now, in the King James, it says, the streams beat vehemently against it. Vehemently. The word vehemently in the Greek means to break, wreck, crack, shatter to minute fragments. What Satan wants to do is try to break us. But as we have this sure foundation, we cannot be broke, we cannot be wrecked, we cannot be cracked, we cannot be shattered whatsoever. It's actually, we're unshakable. I often sit, with the Lord Jesus in the resurrection. It's like, they brought the bazookas, they brought the tanks, they dropped the atomic bomb on him, and when the smoke cleared, he's still standing. What are they going to do now? He's invincible. And for us, as we lean on the Word of God and believe it, there is nothing that can shake us. If it could be shaken, that means the Word of God could be shaken. But since our life's not based on ourselves, but based in faith, we cannot be shaken at all. All right, let's turn to let me see. Oh, yeah. Laying a foundation. We want to lay this foundation. Now, Jesus is our authority. That's what lordship means. And the foundation we lay is we must be born again. Now, do you know what that means? For many years, I tried to explain this to my mother, and I never could get it right. But finally, by many years and by God's help, I think this is one of the things that I can help people with. The word born means to start. Like, did you have a baby? Yeah. When was he born? When was she born? When did she start? To be born again is to start again on the authority of Jesus Christ. That foundation that He is the Son of God, that He is the authority of all. So that's the foundation we're laying. Those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not have that foundation, have greatly deceived themselves, have laid up for themselves great disappointment in their end. So let me read. I'm going to read a song that sort of captivates this. It's a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, which means we cannot be broke, we cannot be wrecked, we cannot be cracked, we cannot be shattered to minute pieces. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ill prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to do us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. There's cruel hate out there against us. But we've dug deep, and we're digging, and we're building. And you know, we're enjoying. Really, I delight in this stuff. I shouldn't call it stuff. I delight in God. I really do. It is so challenging and so rewarding. And it is truth. There's nothing more fulfilling in life than to following God. But see, there's an enemy out there. Cruel hate. Deception. What did Jesus say about the second coming? Take heed, no man deceives you. That's going to be the first thing. But as we come before His Word, the pure Word of God that purifies our heart, that takes away the impurities out, to make us that person God wants to be, which is in the likeness of His Son, His dear Son, Jesus, we cannot be deceived. I remember it said out of heaven when Jesus got baptized, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then in the Transfiguration, "This is My Son, listen to Him." We are the people who listen to God. You are of God. They are not. They're of the other camp. They're of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that we all partook of and led us to death. We're now living alive in God. So, I like that song, a mighty fortress, a foundation, the supreme authority, Jesus Christ. We cannot be shaken. Okay, to the faithless, to those who hear the Word of God but don't do it. Let's look at verse 49 of Luke 6. Verse 49, chapter 6 of Luke. "But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, or the streams beat vehemently against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, it's a very interesting thing. It says here, Jesus says, "Build a house upon the ground without any foundation." You see, really, there is no other foundation. They may call them foundation. They may build on it. Let me give you a real quick example. The word Almighty means without contenders. He is the Almighty God. He's without contenders. There is no other foundation. They may build on other religions, other thoughts, humanism, but there really is no other foundation. There's only one. They built on no foundation. And it says, great was the ruin. Great was the destruction. You imagine that day, self-deceived and believing Jesus is the Lord and not doing what He says. Really, not really having God as the supreme authority. And as they go into that awful place, that awful dark place of hell forever. What a sad, sad thing. Yeah, it's a grief. That's why Paul said that he weeps over them. That's why Jesus, he sobbed uncontrollably over Jerusalem. As he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, I would gather you like a chick gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not have it." So this is to Lord, Lord, it's not all those who say that. This is not a universal question, once again. It's just to those who claim to have God. But in their claim, they don't do what He says. And God says, Jesus said, great will there be their destruction. So, it breaks my heart. Let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 in verse 21. Matthew 7 in verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart to where? You know what? These words would fall. Can you imagine hearing those words, how that'd fall on your face? Depart to where? Well, depart away from life. Depart away from joy. Depart away from peace. Depart away from the eternal kingdom. Depart into the everlasting darkness of that awful place. It's so sad. But they did miracles. You see? They cast out. They just didn't go to church. You know, you ever talk to people like that? I go to church. You know, or you know, they claim that you can't know God. It says a fool says in his heart there is no God. You talk to people, you ever hear them? They say, well, nobody can really know the Bible, can't know God. It's all the same. Well, it's not all the same. There's one word. Authority. Who is your authority? But they say it's all the same. Why? Well, you have your thing. I have mine. You really can't know him anyways. The Bible contradicts itself. Can't know God. You know? And they go to church every Sunday. And these guys did miracles. These guys prophesied. These guys cast out demons. This is big stuff. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because in their heart of heart, Jesus was not their supreme authority. They were using his name for other than the truth of God's word, salvation. They may even be able to preach when you get saved, but their real underlying thing was money or whatever else it may be. And that's shocking. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord. Many. Not just a few. The gateway leads to life is narrow and the road is rough. Few those who find it. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many are on that. But for us, Jesus is our supreme authority. And we're in love with him. Aren't you in love with him? I have a hard time thinking about anything else. He is so wonderful. He saved me from that place that was reserved for me in hell that I'll never have to be a partaker of. Because of his great sacrifice, wherewith he loved us with. What a one! If I was a good singer, I'd sing until my... We'd never get out of here. But praise be to God, isn't it? It's exciting, really. It is. That's why we worship God. He's worthy. He is so wonderful. Okay, we're going to do a couple more scriptures and we'll be done. Psalm 73. Let's turn to Psalm 73. And then we'll be finished here. Psalm 73, starting in verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Now, the psalmist here was Asaph, and what he did, he gave the conclusion at the beginning. He went through a tremendous trial here, tested by God, tempted by Satan. And so at the end of the trial, he comes and says, God is surely good. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. The word pure means without mixture. Surely God is good to those who are without mixture. That's our challenge, is to fall back into the world, back into that deceitfulness. But God is good. He establishes a family. He establishes the children. There's great possibility when a family stays pure. But a child can go astray if a family doesn't stay pure. God is good to you if you stay pure. Pure in your thought. Pure in your devotion. Pure in your direction. Pure in your focus on God. It's worth it. He said he's good. Well, here's what happened to this man. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the foolish or arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no pain in their death. This is what he was going through. Their body is fat, which means they had prosperity. They're not in trouble as other men, nor plagued like mankind. And he's gone through all this stuff. Do you ever sometimes think that maybe you're missing out? Maybe there's something, as you come to church and you bump into people who aren't sanctified like me, and all of a sudden you disappoint each other like me. Yeah, I love you. Get around me long enough, I'm going to disappoint you. I don't mean to. It's that carnal nature. Or the church does something bad to you, and finally, you know, maybe the world does have the answer, but they don't. But this is what this guy went through. He was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. He thought he had something more. So he was contemplating all this stuff. Now verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked and are always at ease, and they have increased in wealth. Here's his conclusion. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. God was being difficult with this man. Well, because he loves us. Would you let your kid run around dumb? Wouldn't you want your kid to rise up and be all he can be in God and in what God has created him for? Would you let your kid eat candy all day long? Well, see, God, he's raising beautiful children, and you're one of them. And he wants us to rise up as warriors, rise up as children of blessedness. So there's certain things that he chases us with. Okay? He chases us with certain things. And he's saying, it's so heavy upon me. Look at these guys. They're at ease. They got it made. Well, it was all deception. But this is what he went through. Verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely thou hast set them in a slippery place. Thou dost cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. Now remember we read, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do what I say. What did he say? They build their house on no foundation. Great is their destruction. And it's swift. This is what the scripture says here. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when one aroused, thou wilt despise their image or their form. Because they made themselves into a different image. We make ourselves in the image of God. As we gaze upon him, we're being made in the very self-same image of God. That's one of my secrets. I'm not very bright, but I just keep staring at God. Something's going to happen for this wretched soul of mine. But that's one of the things, is be before God, be in his presence. I'm going to be changed. His word says that. So, you know, I don't understand the Greek or the Hebrew, but I tell you what, I'm just going to stay before God. And I am just so enamored because I'm so wicked, so wretched. The closer I get to the holiness of God, I just shake my head. And Bob preached that message yesterday. It's on my heart for a couple years. To give to the poor. I think we have, in the church at large, all these doctrinal disputes. But we should all at least give to the poor. We can all should agree on that. Which I think is really laying your life down. That's tough. It's real. I wish it was religion. You know, but it's not. It's a relationship with God. And so, those people, they're for themselves. But it'll be a swift destruction for them someday. It's sad. When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. Then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Do you ever feel like that after you goof it up so badly? Before God, I just didn't see it, God, forgive me. Like a beast before. That's what this guy felt like after he got the revelation. That they shall all be destroyed. That their end. And that's what they don't do. That's what people don't do. They don't perceive their end. The people will say, Lord, Lord, and then go on their own way. Their end is destruction. So we should always remember our end. Remember our end, in a sense, we're saved. We're going to heaven. But remember our end as we build upon that foundation, silver, gold, and precious stones, that God is going to reward that. His reward is with him. So he did that because he knows our carnality. We got the assurance of going to heaven. We won't just do nothing. But to those who work hard for God, there is a treasure that awaits us that mind cannot perceive. So remember your end. Okay. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand, and with thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me into glory. Who am I in heaven but thee? See, now he's into exaltation. And beside thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Great will be their ruin. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to Thee. But as for me, the nearness of my God is good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell all Thy works." That's what happens. This man, after he went to the trial, he realized, God is my refuge. God's all in all to me. They, the faithless, shall fail and be destroyed. One last scripture. It's Luke 16, verse 19. Then we'll be done. Verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gates, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Beside, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. And just very quickly, as we looked at these two people, who do you think is successful here? Who do you think is successful? Look, here's a man lived sumptuously, dressed sumptuously, dressed beautifully. He looked like he's successful. Two different foundations. This guy knew Abraham. As he enters into hell, he'll recognize Abraham. He's conscious, saying, "Send him to my brothers." But he had the wrong foundation. And here's Lazarus. Let the dogs have more pity on him than this rich man. The dogs licked his sores. This rich man had nothing to do with him. Well, one laid on a foundation of truth, which was Lazarus. The other one had no foundation. He had what's called the redefined life. Redefined success. Redefined salvation. Because he was on the false foundation, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He redefined it all. And at the end, there he is. Oh, tell my brothers, tell someone, don't come to this awful place. Lord, Lord. He would have been one of these people. But he did not do what God said. He didn't even, well, there was the poor. He didn't lay his life down at all, did he? Yeah. He lived sumptuously. And all the people of the world thumbs up to him. But God thumbs down. No foundation. Lazarus now, he had a very miserable life. But he was a believer. He's received into God. He's received into heaven. Well, tell me, but he was accepted. So there. I don't want to read much more, but there's the contrast. So for us, thanks be to God for his wonderful salvation. And we still pray for those who are outside of God, saying, "Lord, Lord," but really don't have a foundation laid. So we just keep praying for them. And we weep for them at times. And yet, as I end here, I can remember I had such a struggle with that, a real struggle. And a friend of mine passed away, and I didn't have time to, or didn't make time to talk to him. He always resisted the gospel. I told a man of God that, I didn't have time. He says, "Chuck," I call these most precious. He said, "Chuck, my dad died." A year later, my brother called and said, "Where's dad at? Where's dad at?" He said, I don't know. All I know is this. He heard the gospel, and God is just. And for me, that did a lot. We all need something different, I guess, but that did a lot for me. Because it tears me to pieces to see people have to go to that awful place. So as we confess him as our supreme authority, let us march on toward this glorious, exciting life that God has given us. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, for your wisdom, for revealing yourself to us. We come daily to your table to eat and feast and drink from your fountain of life. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for this church. Continue, Lord God, to work a unity in us as we would go forward to bring forth your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.